Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage. Happy Thanksgiving. I feel like Jude, that's the second to the last book in the Bible, when he said he wanted to speak of the common salvation, but he was compelled instead to deal with a pack of wolves that had crept in to devour Christ's sheep. Get my message last Sunday, a.m. and p.m., for two very helpful, enlightening Thanksgiving messages. I intended to lay out my Thanksgiving special today, but I think we've got a Delaware to cross, you know, and an enemy to face. So remember, Washington was busy Christmas Day preparing and then at nightfall executing the famous crossing of the Delaware. When at war, you see. Such as it is, my friends, this will be my Thanksgiving special. So let me begin by expressing my heartfelt thanks to all who support the Brain Massage Show, especially the Lighthouse Baptist Church family, who stand for freedom and who uphold me in your prayers and financial gifts. Unlike so many of our young folks today, we at least have a memory of freedom, of patriotic affection for our country, and respect for our ideals of liberty and justice for all. Notice how those who scorn this ideal and mock our pursuit of it are today the very ones advocating for suppression of free speech, approving the two-tiered justice system at work in our country today, and showing an in-your-face insult thievery of the people's right of consent. The battle for Arizona is possibly a pivotal moment in our struggle against our own King George. I write and produce the show on Friday. This is a developing story, so I'll give you as much as I can as I go along, but a lot will have developed by the time you get your brain massage. The hashtag AZRevote is happening. Please participate if you can by attending, if at all possible. They plan to continue their sit-in at the Capitol in Phoenix for several days. Joe Altman said they intend to sit in until Arizona announces a revote. I went online to Arizona Citizens Are Awake, hashtag AZRevote. I have a link right here in my notes, which, as you know, or should by now know, are available at brainmassage.net. In this case, look for show number 909. In case you don't have access to the site, and if you want to help AZRevote, go to app.advocacyforaction.com/campaign?ID=4151. Okay, do the best you can with that. But best to get my notes, you'll have the link right there. I did it and gave what for me was a sacrificial gift to help. I wrote a note to encourage Apollo at apollo@conservativedaily.com. That's conservative daily is hyphenated, conservative hyphen daily. apollo@conservativedaily.com. And I'd be there, but for a preaching trip that will take me from town in the opposite direction of Arizona. Will Arizona revolt begin our own Arab Spring? What's that exactly? The Brazilian Spring, as it has been called, is gaining worldwide attention as millions, I mean literally millions of Brazilians, mass the streets denouncing the stolen election by the criminal, I mean, literally, convicted criminal communist, a guy named Lula, with the help of Biden's CIA and the Dominion stealing machines, right? What I learned from talking to more than 1,000 people who lived through communism under the Soviet Empire, 10 trips into communist countries, you'll need to hear that. And, speaking of Russia, wow, get a load of this. A volunteer describes what he saw in an alleged Ukrainian satanic child sacrifice slaughterhouse. Mercy. Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Let me run through a list of top-of-mind news. I'll give you kind of a news brief here. I guess we should begin with the Thanksgiving stuff. Thanksgiving bashing ingrate Joy Reid blasts what she calls the myth of Thanksgiving. Says our nation's birth was violent. Well, she's a hapless hack for the America-hating, God-denying, Antichrist spirit suck-ups who try to destroy this country. Like many, she confuses Jamestown and that ilk with Plymouth Rock and those saints. A great book you should read, written by a colleague, William Brady, titled What God Hath Wrought. Funny how these people like Reed can look right past the atrocities of Mao Zedong to praise the wonderful aspirations and intentions of his Marxist ideology, but they can't see past even a single blemish in American history to see the big picture of American exceptionalism. Instead of remarking on the legacy of horrible human rights abuse upon the precious Chinese people every anniversary of Mao Zedong, they praise the great intentions of that Marxist whose policies murdered millions. But in America, we are made to endure the spectacle of morons, and technicality there's there in the word that makes it appropriate, I don't have time to go into, like Reed, picking at our history and turning Thanksgiving Day into, what, Indigenous Day of Mourning? What makes them the saddest? Our Constitution, perhaps. They don't like that. The Declaration of Independence. The raising up on this land of the greatest nation in the history of the world. Or maybe it's the end of their tribal feuds and warring factions wiping out one another over hunting grounds, right? And sometimes just plain jealousy and stuff like this, a rivalry. Or perhaps it was the human sacrifice system practiced among some of those indigenous tribes that they missed the most. Or in other words, just like the history of the indigenous people was not all peace pipes and idyllic spring scenes like you see in a movie. Not all American history is reflective of Jamestown. That which we celebrate is Plymouth Rock. That's where Thanksgiving Day started, where the pilgrims thank God for giving them a place in this new world. A place, by the way, they thanked God for the welcome they received by the Indians there. Plymouth is our model, not Jamestown. Kevin McCarthy demands Mayorkas resign or face impeachment hearings. You have got to be kidding me. Listen, typical of GOP failure to lead and to act and to use power effectively. I mean, to actually do anything about anything. Why are we going to give the gavel to a fella who's basically going to give Mayorkas and his ilk a way out? We need those hearings to present all the facts before the American people. With this joker, Mayorkas, under oath so he can be exposed as the traitor that he is, and so that we can dig into, identifying any fingers or hands Biden and company might have in this mess. It's pathetic. We're being told McCarthy is going to do this to throw red meat to the right in view of the upcoming speaker vote. Oh, man, find somebody with some real convictions to give that gavel to. Not another political crawfishing and that wet noodle. Biden wants a vote on more Second Amendment infringement in legislation that he can sign while the House still has the majority. The Democrats. Will the rhinos help the Dems take a stick to our constitutional right to keep and bear arms? Biden calls for assault weapons ban before the new congressional session begins. While in Nantucket for Thanksgiving, Biden told reporters he would try to get rid of assault weapons. Oh, really? Before the Republican majority takes control of the House. Then he told reporters he needed to go home to open some presents. Wait a minute. I think that was during his call-in at the Macy's Day Parade, was it? When was this latest cognitive fail? Totally scrubbed from the internet, by the way. I couldn't find a resource for that one, but I did hear. Anyway, if you ever wondered whether there is any conspiracy collusion between all mainstream media, so-called, well, take a look, listen at this, and it's in my notes, the link. Every single one, including the Fox that conservatives let into their own hen house some time back, obviously they all of them collude together to control what you hear and shape, they hope, what you think. They are so threatened by independent news sources, and right now they're in a panic. This video concludes by showing each and every one of the government propaganda media repeating the same line. I mean, all through it, it shows this. But at the end, here's what they think about independent media and the people speaking freely to one another about their opinions on things that are going on. They say this is extremely dangerous to our democracy. Extremely dangerous to our democracy. Yeah, they are. You know what? That's exactly right. Free speech is dangerous to their democracy. You see, it's their democracy. That literally means democratic rule. Not rule of, by, and for the people, but rule of, by, and for the Democrats and their controlled opposition planted in the Republican Party. This country is not a democracy. Our founders hated that form of government because it is not premised upon the rule of law, but rather mob rule. And mob rule always devolves into the tyranny of mob boss rule or mobster rule. Here's a little secret that will help you understand what the enemies of our republic hate so much about republicanism, the rule of law, and why they advocate for democracy. We see a republic is grounded upon the principle that law rules, and the law of our land restrains government and protects the liberties of the people. And that's what we're losing. We're losing republicanism, see, and we're falling into the hands of democracy. In democracy, law is not supreme. Instead, the voice of the mob is, pretending to be the voice of the people. But they take that voice away by stealing the votes. And you see, and this voice of the people is determined by whatever the mob bosses say it is. Democracy always becomes mob rule. And mob rule always becomes mobstered rule. And the mob bosses always end up clenching their filthy fists around the neck of the people and choking from them the spirit of liberty. And here you go. In August, vaccinated COVID deaths actually exceeded unvaccinated COVID deaths. So there you go. Yeah, quote, vaccinated people are not a majority of COVID-19 deaths, analysis shows, end quote. Wow. All right, looks like I pretty much used up my first segment with a kind of overview or review of the news. Let's go to break a bit early, and I'm going to dig into the major issues on the other side. Hold on, I'll be right back.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today, and Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the Spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to GodsWar2020.com. Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Without any question, the most important issue facing our nation right now is election integrity. I should say the woeful lack thereof. The elections in Arizona have been front and center in our fight to defend the people's right of consent. And right now, I understand, as of noon on Friday, more than 8,000 gathered outside the elections office waving flags and protesting the steal. Those numbers are funny. And I kind of go into it in a footnote here, but I can't go into it now. The legacy media, you know, the CBS types, continue their unfounded denial of election theft. We are under an oppressive regime that controls virtually every mechanism of public life. The executive, and so law enforcement, is corrupted, at least at the federal level, and in every blue state, it seems, the state level too, with the power in most counties, with the power to control our economy through executive policies that target industry. They pretty much control the courts, or enough of them at least, to make it nearly impossible to get justice in law. They control the media, of course, and most of the legislatures in our country right now. The federal and all blue states are certainly under their power. The Uniparty, you know, the Democrats, along with their rhino counterparts and the GOP, dominate our legislatures. They built this hegemony of oppression within our system by cheating and stealing from the people, stealing their voice. As I said earlier, in the Democrats' worldview, democracy is ruled by Democrats. That's what they mean by it, right? That's not what the word means, but that's what they mean by it when they use it. They justify doing anything to maintain democratic rule, meaning Democrats rule. The only way we will ever get our country back is if we get the ballot box freed from the clutches of these thieves. That requires getting rid of these stinking machines, by the way. That's a key element in this battle. The current battle for Arizona is another battle in the ongoing war and our struggle against our own King George. I write and produce the show, as most of you know, on Friday. And this is a developing story, so I'll give you as much as I can, but a lot will have developed by the time you get your brain massage. The hashtag AZ Revote is happening. Please participate if you can by attending, if at all possible. They plan to continue their sit-in at the Capitol in Phoenix for several days. Joe Altman said they intend to sit in till Arizona announces a revote. I went online and I gave you some information earlier on how you can step up to help them out. If you want to get my notes to get the links and so on, go to brainmassage.net. And in this case, look for show number 909. As of about 3 p.m., I checked in with Conservative Daily and sadly, it appears Arizonans did not mass at the Capitol as hoped. However, they plan to continue on, trusting that people will finally get word and gather with them, that is, that the cavalry would come. So will AZ Revolt be our own Arizona Spring and turn into a U.S. Spring, or will it be Arizona Sputter? You do remember the Arab Spring. The people massed in several Muslim countries to demand reforms recognizing human rights and freedoms, and it did help in a few of the countries. Tanzania, I think, if I remember correctly, and I can't remember all of them now, but Egypt and Syria, it's arguable, made things worse for the people. Anyway, obviously the point is the people springing up in revolt against tyrannical government. It's the idea. So we have the Brazilian Spring, as it's being called, and it's gaining worldwide attention as literally millions of Brazilians mass in the streets denouncing the stolen election by a convicted criminal. And, his help and his helpers. It's literally Lula, the guy that won, supposedly. He's a communist. And I think he won, no doubt, with the help of Biden's CIA and the Dominion machines. Yeah? Anyway, deposing Bolsonaro, a beloved leader of the Brazilian people, some in many ways a counterpart to Trump. Anyway, it appears the patriots who gathered in Arizona are not going to give up. They are hanging on, optimistic that Calvary's coming. They're hoping their sacrifice and determination will inspire other Arizonans to join them. Meanwhile, the government-controlled propaganda arm of the occupying forces here in America are giving the event a virtual blackout. No one's looking at it because they know if Arizonans generally become aware of what's going on in their state, it'll spring. Listen, friends, it's important to remember what we are up against. Don't lose heart. Listen, I preached a message Wednesday night you really should check out. It's taken from the book of Job. The message is very clarifying about our situation. Probably everyone listening to me, at least most, will be praying about all, or has been praying about all this. And many of that most, I'm sure, are doing what they can. I am confident that by now we understand we need a divine intervention, like Job, who was up against a foe he could not overcome and required the divine intervention of God Almighty in order to be delivered. I know I've explained that the church is the intervention, but the church is still sleeping or so corrupted like the prophets of Baal and Jezebel's day that they have joined the oppressors. Yeah, because they eat at the whore's table. Like Job, we need God to break through and show himself to us first. We need to reflect on who it is that we're praying to and humble ourselves. And also we need to get a glimpse of just what we're up against, which will deepen that humility, let me tell you. I've always wondered at how many believers take Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and so on. Because it seemed to me that the place where we engage these principalities and powers is, or just happens to be, in the persons of those who are under the influence of the spiritual power that attacked Job. Same one. It has become clear to me the point of Paul in Ephesians 6:12 is not that the children of disobedience under the influence of the spirit of the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, Satan, that's Satan, are not our opponents. Of course they are. Many of them, most of them. But that what we need to understand from that text is that the power standing back of them is Satan himself. And we consistently underestimate our opponents because of this. It's as God revealed to Job. We can't handle Behemoth, you know, the behemoth creature of the land, or Leviathan, that great creature of the sea. I don't have time here, but if you study that carefully, I think you'll begin to see that Leviathan of the sea is the spiritual force behind the instrument of his influence on the land through Behemoth. A plural word, by the way, Behemoth. It's used in a singular form. Very interesting. It indicates the combined forces, energies, powers of earthly beasts in a kind of consolidation, a sort of collective that tramples down everything in its path. I think executing the plan of the chaos god Leviathan. And the plan is to destroy mankind. The behemoth of the god of Mammon has been loosed against us, and we cannot, in our own strength, stand up to his attack. We must, as Washington, appeal to heaven. That was his flag, you know, during the Revolutionary War. You will not beat this enemy in a straight-up flesh-against-flesh contest. They will outmaneuver you every time. They will outpower you and outsmart you. You will lose. Until you understand, you must submit yourself unto God first, and then you can resist the devil and make him flee. What I learned from talking to more than 1,000 people who lived through communism under the Soviet Empire provides a somber warning to believers in America right now. We can only get started on this, but listen up. Beginning about 1 year after the Iron Curtain fell, I started traveling into former communist countries. I took 10 trips and talked to literally thousands of people in assembly and so on, but personally, one-on-one, to many hundreds, and got a pretty clear idea of their perspective. Most of the believers and pastors I talked to grieved that America never came to their rescue. In fact, I'd be asked that over and over and over again, almost everywhere I went. But many I talked to understood that was not the problem. They understood the problem was the apathy of the Russian Christians. Afraid of reprisals, of public scorning in their media, the loss of their jobs, social dissing and all that, well, they decided to go underground, to hide their light and withdraw their salt. They hid. They were lied to so much by their government. They literally joked about one of the most pervasive news sources called Pravda, means truth. They would just joke about it, laugh about it, mock it. It was all a joke to their government. Lied to them so often, they simply came to expect it. Nothing they said was believed by these people. Really, nobody believed the government. The people tuned them out and created a kind of subculture where they just pretended to go along with it all on the surface, on the outside, but contriving all sorts of clever ways to secretly get around and get along in their world, circumventing the obstacles that were put in their way by their government, and in order to avoid triggering any problems, quote unquote. Careful about who they talked to, always. Careful about what they said when they were talking to anybody. I'm telling you, they learned to live in a constant state of fear and anger, and that's what's happening here. Well, they got used to it. We must not get used to it. They became acclimated to the environment of tyranny and oppression. We must not ever accept this tyranny. They grumbled about it constantly, but never did anything about it because they felt helpless. Many pastors and Christian men and women I talked to were ashamed of this, and they admitted it, that they did not resist the oppressors. But actually, by their silence, they realized they ended up strengthening their monster until they became so strong they knew nothing short of open armed conflict would deliver them. So they dreamed that one day the American soldier would come and rescue them from their oppressors. Friend, that's not an exaggeration. I was told that exact thing by, hundreds of Russians. Every effort of brave pastors, many, by the way, who spent significant time in prison for their faith, like our J6 crowd right now, every effort on their part to encourage the people to take a stand was beat back by fear and a general sense of cynical resignation to oppression. I'm going to have to close. Listen, you must resist the devil. You must resist tyranny. Like our founder said, listen, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Don't assist the devil. You've got to take your stand, and you better take it now. And it must begin by submitting yourself to God. Flesh and blood wisdom and maneuvering will not avail. You must take heart, though. You must be apocalyptic. They're using that word now. Some of you look at all of this and you believe it's all going down the toilet. Freedom, liberty, and hope. The last to go is hope. That's what the Russians lost, finally. They lost hope. You must not lose hope. Listen, the Bible makes it very clear that when Antichrist does rise, and he's not here yet, but the spirit of the Antichrist is here. But when the Antichrist does rise, even he, with all his power, and it's quite amazing, he's not going to be able to wipe out humanity from the planet. He only gets 1/4. Now, that's bad, but I don't mean to minimize it. I'm just saying. If the whole world moved into atomic war, according to the Bible, they will not destroy the planet or wipe out the human race. When Jesus returns, you understand, there are going to be a multitude of millions of people, probably even billions, massed against him there in Armageddon, spread out all across the land. And that's after the hundreds of millions of believers are removed from the earth to be with him, that will return with him for the great apocalypse, and wars will be breaking out all over the world. The real apocalypse, by the way. But even after God himself drops upon this planet, all the bowls of wrath, I wish I could go over them right now. When he pours this out upon the children of disobedience, Revelation 15, 16, there's still going to be a large population of human race remaining to field their last stand against God's Christ and his great army of saints. Also, Satan can't move forward with his Nimrod plan, his one world plan, until after that which is present to resist him is removed. Well, he'll make efforts, but he's going to be beat back. Jesus said the end would not come until the gospel of the kingdom is preached in every nation, Matthew 24:14. And the context of that is connected directly to events that follow the rapture of his church and bring this world system to its conclusion. So anyway, quit fretting and start advancing as soldiers, not salesmen. We don't need salesmen right now. We need soldiers of the gospel of Christ. All right, I got to sign off. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, that's brainmassage.net. Find the contact us button. Send me an email. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. Dial 1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
The battle for America is on. The spirit of Antichrist has risen in our land against the spirit of Jesus Christ. What side are you on? Choose wisely. Go to GodsWar2020.com.
Go to SantaMariaLighthouse.org.